to A Cup of Gratitude with Amanda Schaefer. Hi, I'm your host, and I'm so glad you stopped by. This podcast is really for anyone, anywhere, anytime, and it's about taking a moment to slow down and look around and actually see all of the good things that are there. There's an old question that asks, is your cup half empty or half full? But I think a better question is, what's in your cup? I mean, a drop of gratitude will benefit your life unimaginably more than a full cup of anything else. So let's settle in and take a look at how we can shift our focus and embrace the joy and the wonder of the life that we have. And once you start, you won't be able to stop seeing the good. And just like me, you won't be able to stop talking about it. And somehow that creates even more. Even in the midst of difficulty, even when it's really hard, learn how to drink from a cup of gratitude.
Welcome. Today, I'm speaking with Carmel Austin. She is a creative artisan, entrepreneur, podcast host, wholeness life coach, and publisher. You can listen to or watch her podcast shows on Spotify. They're called The Thriving Woman. She is the founder of Carmel's Garden, a number one Amazon best-selling international author. And Carmel's Garden offers coaching programs to empower women and creatives to walk into wholeness and freedom. She advocates for self-love and personal growth, inspiring others to overcome challenges and achieve their goals. Carmel helps women and creatives flourish by sharing keys to journey into wholeness. She is a sought-after speaker and mentor, inspiring creatives to share their journey on an international stage and share their stories. Carmel's dedication to empowering people to tell their stories and reach a wider audience is evident in her publishing mentorship program. And through this program, she has helped many authors realize their dreams. At Carmel, it is nighttime for her and early morning for me. She's in Australia, and so I'm so grateful that she was willing to make the times work. Welcome, Carmel. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello, Amanda. Thank you so much for introducing me. And hello, everyone who'll be listening to this podcast.
Well, you know, I am just excited. It's been quite some time since we first talked to one another that we're doing this. But I always find that with busy schedules and changes that God is always in the timing. And so I am looking forward to what God has planned for this conversation today. I do things a little differently here, and I like to start at the beginning. I know there's so many great things I want to get to that you're doing right now for God's kingdom, but I think it's so important for us to start at the beginning and to see that beautiful thread of God working through our stories and in our lives. And a lot of times when people come on to do this, I mean, how often do you tell your whole story, right? They end up being blessed by things that they missed in their own story because they were too busy living them, right? And so it's really this amazing process where God kind of ministers to us both as we lean in and share joyfully, you know, our experiences of Him in our life.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, Amanda. I'm so excited about being on this journey with you as we share together.
Me too. And I also want to just say how much I admire your heart for collaboration. I'm the same way. I love to link arms with people. I want to just cheer everyone on who's walking in their calling. But I love collaborating with other authors and speakers and podcasters. It's so exciting. And I feel like the Holy Spirit shows up in really new ways when we work together. And it's such a great example to the world that we really are a family in the body of Christ.
Absolutely. And then I totally agree with you, Amanda, and I'd like to congratulate you as well with your new book that has just come out.
Thank you. It's been such a great experience. I've never worked with that many authors at one time. There were 34 of us, and it was seamless. It was such a great experience, and everyone was so wonderful, and we're very excited that we're giving the profits to Compassion International.
Oh, that's wonderful. I'm so thrilled for you. I know for myself, when I took the journey of birthing my book this year, And, you know, donations are going towards a charity as well. And it's just such a blessing to be able to give to others.
Yeah.
And collaboration is so true, Amanda. That's what it's all about, that there's room and there's space for everyone in God's yes. kingdom and in his, you know, in this forum that he's given us. For me, I only had 14 authors write their story in my book, but you know, that was enough for me for my first book that I actually started from birth to, you know, from conception to birth. But you know, there's so much goodness in God when we collaborate, and that was exactly what I did. I collaborated with my authors from around the world, so I feel incredibly blessed. So yeah, congratulations on that, Amanda.
Well, thank you. Congratulations to you as well. I just want to say that I feel like, yeah, it's just a special gift. It's something that we really experience by doing it together that you can't really explain. And it doesn't matter whether it's two people collaborating or 100 people collaborating. It's the mere fact of, like, I'm partnering with you, like I'm co-laboring. It's biblical.
Yes, absolutely.
So with the concept that I like to start at the beginning in mind, would you be willing to tell us a little bit about your childhood?
Yes, absolutely. I've grown up in Sydney, Australia. I grew up in a very big family. I'm the eighth child from my parents. And my father and mother were born here in Australia, but my father has had Italian descent and my mother had Lebanese descent. So there was a bit of a love story around that. They both met in Redfern at 15 years of age, and at 20 they were married. And sadly, by the time I had come along, there were only six siblings. Mum had already lost to one very young baby and a young toddler. And but my parents were full of life, full of gratitude to God for their lives. Mum had been through a lot of hardship. She'd lost her mother and a baby at birth and gone into a home, into a convent. And she had just come out of the convent when she met Dad. And my mum, you know, always taught me that we go through difficult things, and so did my dad, but we have a loving God who's always there with us walking that journey. So I grew up in a very loud home where you had to speak up to be heard. And being the youngest, you know, I always got put in my place by my older siblings. And my mother was very committed. We grew up Catholic, to serving at the church and the school and the community. And till the, you know, really up until not before they passed away, both of them. Dad passed away last year, Mum 7 years ago. They both served with whole hearts, their family, their neighbourhood, their friends and their community. So my parents taught me so much about love, about acceptance, and about that, you know, family are very important.
Yeah, what a wonderful foundation. And not everyone gets to recount such a positive story from their childhood. So that's definitely a gift and a blessing. I love that you said it was very loud and you had to kind of learn to speak up. You remind me of when my youngest was born. He was born 9 years after my daughter. So he's very much, you know, the youngest and little baby. But we brought him home and he was so quiet. So very quiet that I remember the first week I thought, oh my goodness, he's so quiet. It's like none of the other children, right? And within a week, he learned to be loud because everybody else was up and around and talking. And, you know, and it was funny to see how the environment changed kind of his personality. And to this day, he is a very quiet but wise person. If he has something to say, he says it. But he had to kind of get loud to get attention as a baby.
Yeah, well, that's how I felt growing up and, you know, competing with very strong personalities. And look, you know, my childhood was never perfect. And I actually grew up with a bit of an inferiority complex. And I'm only learning now, you know, I wear Erlen glasses, which are coloured glasses. And it's only been the last 10 or so years, actually, since I travelled to Israel and then did a course at TAFE with websites, that I started to really understand that my brain functions very different. I knew, you know, when I was a child, I had a lot of childhood sicknesses and a lot of things that happened in my body. And my mum faithfully did everything she could, taking me to doctors and diets and different things. And, you know, you do grow up with a bit of a complex when you've got things going on and, you know, not understanding why you couldn't understand what was going on in the classroom, because my brain just functioned differently to what my friends did and life. So I had a few things that I've had to overcome over the time and, you know, and just be grateful that I've got to this age in my 50s where God, you know, is birthing all those dreams in my heart, all those things that as that little girl I'd get up in my dad's garage behind a microphone and sing into it because I always wanted to be a rock star and a singer. Or out the front of their lounge room window, we'd open it and I'd play shops. And for years, you know, I've always been an entrepreneur, always selling things, always creating things, always been the designer, can see things finished, creative. So watching myself come into that even more in the last few years and just being grateful and courageous and knowing that it's okay to be me and I'm different. And that was the thing in my childhood that I think I struggled with the most, because my brain, you know, when I was different and I didn't cope with, you know, the norm of what went around me. So I did spend a lot of time crying and not understanding things, and I had health issues and different things as well. So really having to learn that it's okay that my brain works differently and I can get overload very quickly.
Yeah.
And know honestly, all those things.
God makes every single one of us unique. And if there's something due to the fallen world we live in that isn't what's quote unquote normal, God normally uses that to strengthen us for what he has for us later. But the giftings there that he deposited in you of creativity and a boldness, those were meant to be used for his kingdom later. And so, yeah, I mean, I too, as a child, had some issues and some different things that made me very quiet and anxious. And now, but I also was the kid who jumped up on the chair, you know, who wrote the stories and made covers and, you know, stapled them together. You know, so we sound like we had a very similar upbringing in that certain things made me anxious, certain things that I went through made me quiet. But what God had deposited in me really was to tell stories and speak. And so in Christ, now healed and on the other side, I'm right back to who I was meant to be. And that's what I hear in your story. You know, in talking to you in our pre-recording call, you're very much an outgoing, extroverted person who's creative and knows what you have to say and says it in your own unique way.
Absolutely, Amanda, that is so true. And at times when I was younger, got into trouble a lot from being like that, you know, but still am very grateful that, yeah, I do know that. And I know now understand all the different phases and the things that I've gone through. And it's true, you know, in my family, he's given me that voice. And I have been a very outgoing person who, you know, has been very much involved in the community and doing lots of things. So, yeah, you know, but there's all different seasons too that we walk through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have, sometimes I ask this question and I want to ask you, like, a vivid childhood memory, just something that really sticks out? It could be good, bad, anything.
Thinking about it now, I think about, I used to put on my brother's, I think it was his record player, and I'd lock myself in the front of our house and I would dance to their music, my sister's music, Leo Sayer. And I, you know, dance through my mum and dad's bedroom and in the lounge room and dance around. And I found that to be a real release.
Yeah.
Of just being me, being free, just expressing myself and just twirling around and just enjoying the moment and not feeling overwhelmed by what's been happening or feeling like I'm different or, you know, facing the things that I went through as that little girl. So I still see, you know, when you asked me that, when we were talking earlier, that came up. So, yeah, I have that very – it's a warm place.
Yeah.
Where, you know, and I know as over the years I've been invited into churches to dance, I've been in dance groups, and I love that expression of waving a flag or your arms or movement towards God. And I express that as that little girl and just and I still love to dance. I love to go and dance and listen to a band and have got a bit of a beat and all that. So yeah, that's one childhood experience that's a memory that's locked in there, and it's a nice memory.
Yeah, that's a beautiful memory. I wrote it on the side of my paper. That's just pure joy.
Absolutely, yes. Where I just lose all my inhibitions, all my fears, worries about what people think or what's going on in my life, and I can just be present in the moment and have fun and enjoy it.
Yeah, what a great gift. Now, you and your husband, you were 16 when you met, and you've been married for 38 years. So tell me a little bit about, like, how would you, in a short, like a sentence or two, describe your relationship?
Yes, we were 16 when we met. I was a week off 17. Wayne is very quiet and reserved at times, and he often calls me the boss, giving him the instructions on what to do.
Right.
You know, but then there's this side of him that wants to please me, and because I'm organized like my dad and I like to get, you know, things in my house done and things around the house done, and Wayne's similar to dad in that way, but I'm the one who says I want the walls painted or I want this changed, or, you know, and I'm the driving force. And one of my sisters is very similar in that way, that we spend a lot of time doing all that with my father. So very quickly, our relationship is that we are still very much individuals. And my husband loves his footy and his motorbikes and you know, all those things that are men. But then there's this side where there's still that romance and that love, and that we can stir each other up and hassle each other, and people think we're fighting, and we do fight a bit, but it's, you know, it's over with, and, you know, we can look at the goodness of life and appreciate that, you know, my husband has stood beside me through all my harebrained things that I have done and all my entrepreneurs. And even the other day he said to me, my little author, he called me. And, you know, and so, and when he's been with family, I hear it, you know, he talks about me and he raves about all the things I'm doing quietly. He doesn't say it to me. So there's a real balance with us both. And, you know, I love being at home and I love serving and I love making sure all of his needs are met as well. And he does that in another way. So there's a real, you know, it's not always perfect in relationships, but we have both stood beside each other through all the heartache and through the years. And, yeah, I'm now planning what we're going to do for our 40th wedding anniversary in the next 15 months, which is pretty exciting.
That is exciting, and it's wonderful to see the balance of the two of you in your relationship. Now, you had told me during our pre-recording call that you gave your life to the Lord at 18. How did that happen? Was it in a moment, or was it over time?
It was over time, in the process of meeting Wayne. I was probably very lost. Grew up, like I said, in a Catholic home, but didn't really understand who Jesus was and what he could be to me as my friend and my savior, and he would walk that road with me. And was sharing about this the other day at home group, actually, and he just wooed me over a couple of years where I got invited to some Christian events, but I wasn't ready. And then I actually started going to my girlfriend's sister-in-law's place, and she invited me to a Four Square church. And I would go there, and she just was genuine, and there was just such something in her that drew me. And obviously it was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, I love how God peppers those kinds of people into our story, right? He gives us these opportunities to meet genuine people who do have relationship with him if we don't have those people around us organically. I think that's beautiful.
Yeah, so, both Wayne and I, before we were married, gave our hearts to the Lord, and we were going to church, and Wayne chooses these days that his church is getting on his motorbike and spending time on the road, and he has a great faith, but he expresses it differently to me. For years, I went to church and served in the church, but now, God, particularly since COVID, God has really, even before COVID, God took me into the marketplace. 15 years or more. And so, there's different phases that he takes you through, and it's just learning and accepting them is what I'm finding in life, and being okay with that.
Yeah, you had told me that once you began reading the Bible is when your faith really shifted, and you said that you kind of began to just not have God be displaced and far away in heaven, but yet he was close and you could recognize his presence. And I think that being in the Word or being in worship and in quiet time listening really does allow us to experience that. How did that come about for you?
Well, I ended up going to church with my girlfriend and her sister-in-law, and I think she had a little car and she'd pack about 10 or 8 people in there, and we'd go off to church. And I actually, before that, I never read a lot because of my dyslexia.
Yeah.
But when I did give my heart to the Lord, and that was actually, I was walking down a street in Fairfield in New South Wales in Sydney where I lived, and I just decided I can't do this on my own anymore when I was 18, and just asked Jesus into my life. And it still feels like yesterday. And the freedom and the peace of knowing that he came into my heart and into my life. And the growth and the change and the things. And it's so true, I picked up a Bible and I devoured it. And I never read before that because of my dyslexia. But to read the Bible, it was easy for me. And I was able to, really take hold of it.
Well, the Holy Spirit's involved when you read the Bible and when your heart's been given to Christ, and his word is alive and active, and it interacts with you. It's not like any other book. It's the living presence of God. And so I think that's wonderful. And I remember reading the Bible my first time through, I devoured it too. And I couldn't get up early enough, and I couldn't dig around and ask questions enough. And it's just an exciting, adventurous time. And you have talked a little bit about when COVID hit and how you kind of went more into a quieter worship. You said you noticed when you were watching church online, you kind of shifted a little bit. And I remember when COVID hit and I had to stay in because I was caring for my parents. That was quite different because for me, I went to a large church where worship time was just, I felt like I was in heaven, you know, between how loud it was and my eyes were closed and I was singing at the top of my lungs, but I couldn't even really hear myself. And all my attention was on God. And that's very different from the kind of quiet worship that I have at home. So how did you notice the shift? And what do you think God was doing in that shift?
Well, with COVID, of course, church was closed and, you know, lots of it was online. I did have a very small core group of church people that we connected with through that time. But I think, too, you know, I really have found, because I'm the sort of person who'll just have worship going all day at home. Mm-hmm. So I'll be worshiping the Lord. And I agree with you, when you are in that corporate place and you're lost in God, that is a beautiful place to be. But, you know, I think it's okay to have those places and to know that God is with you wherever you are.
Absolutely.
And I found in the season of COVID, there was great growth in me. There was great you know, I started doing my coaching course online. I was studying. I was learning. I was outworking the things in my heart that I believed that I wanted to do. I took a risk on myself and I spent money on myself and I learnt and I, you know, I got to where I'm going now by spending that time through COVID. And, you know, like there's not many a day where I don't have Bethel praise and worship on, or I don't have Hillsong praise and worship on, or I listen to Casting Crowns or Third Day, because for many years I ran a Christian bookstore. And so I, you know, got used to quite a few of the artists and used to play a lot of their music as well. So for me, I feel like being a psalmist, I've sung a lot at church, I've danced, I've done a lot of creative things. That just outworks in my home. Naturally.
In the pandemic, I was asked a question once during the pandemic of what kind of setback was it? And I said, it wasn't a setback. It was a springboard.
Absolutely.
You know? And so I feel like, and I know in Australia, I have other friends that I've had on the show. You guys had way more lockdowns than we did here in the States. And they were for really long periods of time and they were very severe. Like you couldn't leave the house kind of thing. And so, but what I think I was doing was pushing a reset button. I'm not saying that he caused it, but I'm saying he used it for those of us who were willing to grow us and stretch us. And
absolutely.
And funny enough, send us all over the world, you know, because that's what happened with you and with me. We both ended up with international ministries. And here I am. I'm podcasting in a converted closet in the middle of a 1600s farmhouse in the middle of nowhere, Pennsylvania, that I came to care for my parents during a pandemic. But God took it all over the world. And he took your efforts all over the world. You have international connections. And I think it's really interesting that with a heart that's willing, he was able, right?
Absolutely. A heart that is willing is all that God asks. And I know for me, you know, traveling overseas and taking that risk of leaving my small country town and going to Israel by faith and taking up the call, you know, 10 years ago or more, and then realizing that there's so much more. And that's right. COVID was a growth time for me. It was, you know, really like taking that risk on myself and trusting that all of those dreams and all of these gifts that I know God has given me has come to life on this international stage. And I feel incredibly blessed by that, Amanda. And yeah, I love interviewing people with my podcast show as well. So yeah, we're on very similar journeys, aren't we, in that respect?
Yeah, it's quite exciting. And it literally allows us to be an arrow that points right to God. Because I say to people, I didn't even listen to a podcast before I started it. I had written books and I had spoken, you know, on stages, but I had never even listened to a podcast. And yet he turned this into something where when I was kind of hidden away and set apart inside and couldn't leave because I was serving him by serving my parents. He took me so many places and I connected to so many people and like you, you know, who are all over the world. And I have all of these new friends and all of these new allies and co-laborers in Christ. And it's amazing to me. It's such a joy and such an adventurous journey. I love it.
Absolutely. And I understand what you're saying, because for me, being the youngest in my family and my husband and I, our children never survived here on this earth. They're in heaven. We spent a lot of time traveling and a lot of time, especially in that last 10 years or more of my parents' life, of me going up and caring for them. Mm-hmm. I've had my parents in my home. And, you know, when my dad did pass away last year, I felt like God say to me, well done, daughter. I've taken him home. You have so much more to do. You served, you know, your family well. You served your mother and father and your family well, and be blessed. And that's a good thing, you know, and that's what I see in you, Amanda. You know, this season in what you're doing is a blessing, because our parents pour into our lives.
Yeah.
And we have to willingly, is how I see it, give what we can to them. And, you know, it's interesting because one of the young girls who was nursing in my dad's nursing home, she stayed contact with my sister, and she has finished her uni degree, and she sent us a beautiful thank you note and said, thank you for supporting me through everything. And so we became friends with their carers. We became family to them, and with all the other people living in there over all the years of mum and dad being in care and before care. And so, you know, we deposit into people's lives way beyond what we realize with wherever stage we're at.
That's right. And, you know, taking care of your parents is a once in a lifetime opportunity. Not every child feels the call or is able. And so I was so glad to be able to say, yes, I'll do it. And, you know, and for God to call me to do it. And it is a blessing. And it's one that, honestly, I was a year in to doing that and being completely cut off when I cried out and said, God, I'm happy to do this as long as I have to. And we're in 3.5 years right now and everyone's going strong. But the only thing that I don't feel right about is in being cut off, I'm not sharing the gospel. And that's when he gave me the idea to start the podcast. So God is good. It's only in doing the servanthood that was behind the scenes that no one knew about, and then sharing my real heart, that he gave me a new ministry. And I wanted to ask you about your first book, which came out last year. What did you write about?
My first book, Just Say No. I wrote actually about my losses. It was a book about healthy boundaries in relationships and business. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about how, you know, I asked God for children and it never happened in the way that I expected it to. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about sitting in church and people getting up and saying they're pregnant and God gave them their child, and wondering why, God, aren't you answering my heart's cry to be a mother? Because it was something I wanted since I was a little girl. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I talked about the processes of what I went through in life and my losses, but it finished on turning them into who I am as an entrepreneur and how God has blessed me. And the reason why I wrote about that was, I know for decades God had said to me, you need to share your story to help other women.
Yeah.
And, you know, and you really need to be honest with what you've been through so that you can help other women through the processes of their grief. And I know for probably 30 years I took women into my home. I help women when they've lost children, when they've had stillborns, and I've walked through that process with them. But to actually, you know, when I got invited to come into the book, I'd heard about it, and then I had a lady at the 11th hour send me a message, and it was like, you reading my mail? It was just like God was just saying this. Yeah. And I asked the Lord, and he said, you need to do this, you know. And I'd already, like, written half of it because I've got, you know, stuff written everywhere, being a writer, as you know, and being a creative. Yeah. Yeah. And then I spoke the rest of it into my phone. I think I had about a month in over the holiday period to have it done. And it was so easy. It was so easy to write it. It was so easy to express it. I really knew God had told me in 2019 very clearly I had to start writing. I always wanted to have my stuff published. Mm-hmm. I felt, you know, that real urge to write and share. So I think with that book, it's about, you know, the heartache that I've been through, but God is there with me, and to encourage women and families that even though this world, we go through trauma and we go through grief, we can walk through that, and it can become a blessing, not a curse, in our lives.
That's right. And that's why it's so important to share our whole story. I think oftentimes people will see you at a point of accomplishment, right? Like, let's say they look at you right now and they say, oh, I see she has books, she has a TV show, a podcast, she's doing all these things, she has it all together. But when you share your whole story, God uses those places where you needed him, or where you were broken, or where there was loss or trauma, and where we see that he comes in and he rests on those places, and he brings life, and he brings somehow goodness out of those things. And then he bridges us sharing, us being willing to be vulnerable, he bridges us to other people who don't yet know that hope, and allows them to see, like, I'm not alone, and God is with me, and look at what he's done, and he can do that for me too. And so I remember when I first read the Bible in Revelation, where it says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And as a writer, I was like, God, that doesn't make sense. Why are they parallel? Shouldn't the blood of the Lamb be way up here and the word of my testimony be way down there? And I felt like he said, Amanda, there are people that will not read my word. They will not go to church, but they will listen to your story. So I'm going to pour the blood of the Lamb through the word of your testimony. Story is powerful.
Oh, absolutely. I totally agree, Amanda.
Yeah.
That when we are willing to share the truth in what we've been through, and I agree with you, you know, I've met many young people in the church over the years and been there in youth groups and mentored them. And, you know, when you start to share about, you know, I took drugs and I had issues, and they go, you?
Yep.
And but it totally opens the door up for them to feel like, oh, I can relate to you, and that you might be there now, but, or you're, you know, moving, like you said, you know, now I'm 3 times international best-selling author, but that's not what I've done. That's the platform God's given me. And so, you know, I just see it like, my husband, who supports me financially in what I can do in my own home and do all these amazing things with my show and with what I do, and be grateful to God that he's turned my grief and my heartache into something positive.
Yeah. Morning and, into dancing.
Yeah, morning into dancing. Yeah. Exactly, you know. Yeah.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. You actually have a friend you told me about who asked for your help writing a book, and that led to a collaborative work for coaches. What do you think those collaboration experiences, and we've already talked about how much we both love collaboration, what do you think collaboration's taught you?
Humility. That you can't depend upon yourself.
Yeah.
That everybody has a story and everybody has value, and that when I have done my book, it's not been that it's my book and you do as I say. Mm-hmm. It's we are collaborating, we are friends.
Yeah.
That's why I call my book my recent book that came out this July, The Artist Haven, Carmel Austin and Friends. Mm-hmm. And I wanted each one of my authors to be heard, to know that their story counted, you know, to know. And I felt like the, you know, one of my ladies has six books. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Stephanie stood beside me the whole way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, she just was there cheering me on and mm-hmm. encouraging me and, you know, keeping me on a narrow, straight path. Yeah. And I'd go off and do things and I'd feel like God would say, you're not asking me, or you're not leaning on me, or there, you know, and always been open to what my other authors would put forward. And sometimes they put things forward and I said, no, that's not going to work for this book. And other times I'd say, oh, you're right. I'm so sorry. Yeah. I'm so sorry. And I wrote many letters or messages or text messages to a lot of my authors. So, you know, along the way, and I did with some of my authors as well, I did extra coaching to mm-hmm. help them write their stories. And so, you know, there was so much collaboration with our book and, you know, knowing that, you know, God has just intertwined each one of us together. And my girlfriend, actually, you know, we've known each other for more than 30 years. And mm-hmm. originally she'd asked me to do a local book, which is something that we do want to do, a local book about artists. But mm-hmm. I'll always give God the glory for Susan Amen. Asking me about that, because I thought, yeah, you know, I'm an artist, Stan. That's another part of my life that could be a little bit brighter than, you know, my other book that was very deep and very quite personal. And I felt like a lot of what I wrote was the focus on me. And, you know, it's interesting because since becoming an entrepreneur out in the world and, you know, the global stage, it's not easy talking about yourself and having to have a website about yourself and share your heart. Mm. And so, but when I did do that, there's been so much freedom in it.
Absolutely.
And so much grace and so much doors mm-hmm. open in so many ways. And Susan actually shares her story in my book, The Artist Haven. And one of her students, Samantha, shares, and Samantha is actually blind. Mm-hmm. So her story flows on from Susan's, and it's a beautiful story. So each story in our book, we actually have a link chapter. And mm-hmm. Stephanie asked me, oh, what do you think about this idea? So, you know, I sat then and looked at all of the authors and how, and then God showed me step by step mm-hmm. how each one all lined up and where they were to go in the book.
Yeah, that's awesome.
From the beginning to the end, from number one to number 14, and number 14 is just as important as number one.
Absolutely.
And where everybody is placed in the book is because each story flows into the other.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's such a collaboration of grace and love and prayer and encouragement. And, you know, I was uplifting them and they were uplifting me and they were praying for me. And my virtual assistant, she actually wrote her story in my book as well. So mm-hmm. we were co-creating together along the way. So look, you know, this is God's book. This is he woke me up, you know, quite young in the piece. And he said, I felt like, you know, there was a baby growing inside of me. And he said, that's your book.
Yeah.
And to actually see it be birthed, and now, you know, watching my authors do launches and having the book and all the excitement around that, because, you know, it only came out at the end of July. And so we're still in the middle of that. You know, I haven't even done a local launch yet, and having to get books around the world and all the things that happen with that and all the love.
It's so exciting. It really is. I mean, we're just at the point where we just came off pre-orders and it's now available, and Amazon's having trouble keeping up because there were like 600 pre-orders, and we're waiting for people's people's reviews to come in, and because they hadn't, their books keep getting put back even from pre-orders. So that's a good problem. And you know, when God's in it, it's so exciting. And like you said, all of that, I call it cross-pollination, right? Where the Holy Spirit just kind of, you know, puts like within the group all these special experiences. And I think that's so beautiful. And I love the fact that when we first started talking, that book wasn't out yet. And now it is. And it has been birthed into the world. And I think it's just exciting. And I love that I can understand fully what you're talking about. It's just a beautiful thing. And I'm sure experiences are completely different, but yet exactly the same, in that same spirit of encouragement and deep sisterhood and just an expression of a God's love that you can't really explain other than God connected the two of you in a special way. And then you have that for each individual person and then as a group. You had also told me that you were working on some children's books. Why do you think you feel drawn to that?
Well, 20 odd years I worked in childcare centres, working with children. I love children. I love creativity. I love play. I love that whole expression of, you know, being who God created us to be. And when I went to TAFE in 2010, our teacher actually was a local, she's the head of the author group. And so she got us to write a story, and actually four of us were supposed to write it, but I ended up writing the whole story. And it was only recently when I was in Susan's shop and I was actually doing a creative writing class for her that I had my story out, and I was reading through it with some of the students there, and I thought, oh my goodness, that's me. And it was about a young girl. It's about a young girl, a brother and a sister who travel from Sydney to the South Coast, because it was supposed to be about the environment. And coming to see their grandmother and exploring the dolphins and all the things around that, and the story and how it progressed. And I had to get up in class and share it. And when I shared it, it was just like me telling a kid's story. So I've had that in my heart for years. And my friend Susan and I actually in 2019, we spent a lot of time doing a lot of creative writing together, a lot of healing, a lot of art therapy. And we did sit down and talk about how this book could be different age groups and different things. And it is something very much on my heart. But when I was sharing about it just recently, I realized that that's my story. That's me coming to the area and visiting my auntie and seeing the dolphins. And yes, the dolphin in the book is fiction, and he runs the, you know, the retreat. But, you know, the whole thing of me as that little girl visiting my auntie, who my mum's mum had died. So she was sort of like my grandmother, but of course not, you know, my official grandmother. And so just looking at how I write like that, I write in that excitement. And, you know, when I talk to people, particularly, you know, I talk to a lot of preschool teachers or friends or people when you go places, and they're all like, oh, we want your book. You got to write your book. So that is something that I have put on the shelf, and I would like to illustrate it myself, but finding the time and the skill to do it. But it is something that I know is very dear to my heart, and something that I know I do want to do. But it's finding, and I was talking to one of the students, Barry, who looked at it, but he felt no, that wasn't for him. He wanted to do his own thing. So it's finding someone to help me in that process of it. So yeah, you know, kids. My granddaughter, I love reading her stories. I always, you know, they become larger than life, and I make, you know, voice changes, soft and low. And the whole story, the whole room is taken up by it. And that's from, you know, my years of being a creative and just loving spending time with children.
Well, it's obvious by your description that God's put that in your heart. So I'm looking forward to seeing when that comes to fruition. And I just want to remind everybody who's listening, try to do this towards the end because we're so listening to the story that we don't really want to think about anything else. But in the show notes, you can follow Carmel and you can also take a look at her books. I'll have links to everything. And then once you're following her, you'll be able to get that child's book when it comes out. I could probably sit and talk to you forever. We can get another cup of coffee, but unfortunately it's very late for you. And I have some more things I have to do. So I have one more question for you today. And it's the last question I always end every podcast episode with. I just love what the answers are. There's so many possibilities. So if you could go back and give your younger self any advice, what would that be?
Take deep breaths. Be kind to yourself. That even though in those places when you felt so traumatized and overwhelmed, that you still had a loving God, loving parents and a family. You had a roof over your head, and that life is worth living, even though there's a lot of heartache in what you have been through. So I would tell that younger child that even though you feel like there's so much trauma around your life, that it's all right. Be yourself and creativity will continue to flow, and that it's all right, you know, that that love of people and God that he's always been around my life. And, you know, so I tell that younger self, it's okay. It's okay. Be kind.
Well, that's wonderful, wise advice for anyone to take. And I love just hearing how we talk to our younger self. I think we always have such compassion on the experiences that we had, and we have some wisdom to share. So that's why I love that question so much. Well, Carmel, I just want to thank you so much for staying up late to talk with us today. It's been such a joy to connect with you, and I am excited to share your story.
Thank you so much, Amanda. I can't believe the hour has already gone by.
I know.
And it's just been such a flow of blessing. And you know what, Amanda? You know, after I've interviewed all of my authors who want to be on my show, I'd love to have you on my Thriving Woman show and share your story as well.
Oh, I would love that. I would love that. Any way we can collaborate in the future sounds good to me. I really do feel connected with you and like I'm supposed to know you. And that would be such a wonderful opportunity. Thank you.
Yes. Well, thank you. And thank you for putting that earlier time aside when I know your commitments are, you know, you have a lot with your parents. And I'm very grateful that we were able to make a time that fits with both of us, and that it's just been such a beautiful connection talking to you again as it was when we spoke months ago. And I just feel incredibly blessed, and I just feel God's love and peace around this show and around us chatting. And I'm so grateful for the opportunity to be able to share my story on your platform. So thank you so much, Amanda.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to all that we will get to do in the future together, and I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. God bless.
Hey, so I just want to thank you so much for spending your time with me. And I want to challenge you to go out today and to just take notice and to stop and really look around and find at least one good thing. One thing to be thankful for. You know, if you do that today, you're going to find so many more things tomorrow without even trying. Because once you start, you begin to see what's always been there. And if you need a refill, you can come join me again for another cup. Make sure to subscribe and have an awesome day, and go be grateful.